This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a Tuesday evening in New York City. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Hate everything about barbecue sauce.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
You got me off the tidy whities, Michael. It was because of you.
You know, I didn't even think about it earlier, but it's an important statement that you made, Don.
What?
Right.
My life.
We just said it. Here's the statement from NASCAR. The FBI has completed its investigation at Talladega Super Speedway and determined that Bubba Wallace was not the target of a hate crime. The FBI report concludes, and photographic evidence confirms, that the garage door pull rope, fashioned like a noose, had been positioned there since as early as last fall. This was obviously well before the 43 team's arrival and garage assignment. We appreciate the FBI's quick and thorough investigation and are thankful to learn that this was not an intentional racist act against Bubba. We remain steadfast in our commitment to providing a welcoming and inclusive environment for all who love racing. Now, I had a story from earlier today that there was apparently a noose found on the property of Sonoma Raceway, and officials were conducting an investigation after a piece of twine in what appeared to be a noose was found hanging from a tree on Raceway property Saturday in California. Sonoma Raceway is dedicated to operating a facility that is welcoming to everyone, President Steve Page said. The track, which is owned by SMI and hosts NASCAR races, was closed over the weekend.
So I don't know why I do it, but you go on Twitter.
No.
And you kind of see the reaction, and it's sickening. But there was a few that like tweeted out NASCAR should apologize. Who should they apologize to? Who exactly was accused?
I don't understand.
Now, I guess the overall feeling was that, you know, white people were accused. All right. Well, that's a little general for an apology, right? Especially when we don't live in a world, at least in my opinion, where it's even debatable, the issues of the world and the issues of the time. This was a misunderstanding. But so much good came from it. NASCAR still came together, and I think that's the way it should be looked upon. It wasn't done intentionally. It wasn't like Bubba Wallace faked it for attention or somebody trying to change the narrative. It was just a misunderstanding. Other people on Twitter, well, they should have let the FBI investigate it before they made it public. Yeah, that would have worked out. And then if the FBI found out that it was a noose, then people will be saying, why did NASCAR sit on this for 2 days until the FBI investigated it? I mean,
it never
they saw
ends,
something.
Though.
They
it
reacted
also,
to it.
It also never ends because you are going to have now people like you're describing, Don, who are almost like, yeah, demanding an apology to no one, to like racists or something that you don't even quite understand. And then you're also going to have people who see the report from the FBI and do not believe it. And instantaneously just go, yeah, right. What are the odds?
I don't know what the motivation of the FBI, you know, when you see the pictures, right? I mean,
well, you're talking about a time in which
it's possible for sure, especially in this time, that why people have kind of lost trust in everything, especially everything kind of involving government at this time. But you see the picture, you know, unless they doctored it up or whatever. But I mean, it's just a misunderstanding, but it's an overreaction in a world in which this issue exists because of decades and centuries of underreaction.
Yeah, this is I just don't understand why people are going to somehow see this as a victory for them. If we take it at face value and it was not a hate crime, we should all just see it as a victory for everybody. Good that it didn't happen.
I didn't know the score was. I didn't know the game was in overtime,
together.
Peter.
What did you say?
I didn't realize the game was in overtime.
Right. So, hey, I'll tell you what, though, Don. I did enjoy watching NASCAR yesterday. And I'll tell you one thing. It is shocking to me, and I know you don't have this because Nancy's a big fan, so you've now watched a lot over the years. To me, it's fascinating to watch a major sport that has, you know, at times, huge viewership, and that I'm aware of the biggest names in the sport, and yet I watch the sport, and there's so much I don't understand.
Well, listen, for me, too. I mean, you know, they've got stages now. They instituted a playoff system a few years ago. They're in a state of flux. You know, we keep talking about what
baseball is going to change. No, but even with none of that, I still don't understand the basic things. Like, I don't understand anything. I mean,
there is a lot to what I find fascinating about it is that you've got analysts. Talk about analysts. Talk about heavy lifting, Michael. Like, where they're doing the math on he's going to run out of gas. Yeah, he's not going to make it. He's going to be a lap shy. And then, my God, he runs out of gas.
50. Like, and then add 10.
60.
Then divided by 4.
12.
No.
20.
But no.
You get a finish like you did yesterday. Like, it's a photo finish, like a horse race.
Legit photo finish.
That's.
Yeah.
And then
it was a good first race to jump in.
And it's like Talladega Nights. You see, like, a car finishing sideways.
No, backwards. Yeah, it was, like, basically completely backwards going over the finish line.
Listen, it's not for everybody. You know, that's a lot of racing to watch for that kind of finish. But you know what? If you stuck with it, it was pretty cool.
But let me tell you this. Because I had a vested interest and wanted to see Bubba Wallace win or do well, if you have a vested interest, man, that's a nerve-wracking sport to watch.
So make bets. So you'll always have a vested interest.
Maybe I will.
Sure.
But I was entertained, though. Now, let's move on. Let's talk Please. Sports, shall we? The NBA and the NBPA finalized terms of the revised CBA for their Orlando restart. That is, of course, according to Woj, who knows all things basketball. And the transaction window now begins today. And on Saturday, the NBA sent a memo noting that all 30 NBA teams would have the opportunity to engage in certain typical end-of-season transactions, such as signings and waivers. Following the transaction period, each of the 22 teams participating in the 2019-2020 season restart would be required to submit a roster between 13 and 17 players that would travel to Orlando with the team and are subject to limited exceptions. The limited exceptions would be the only players eligible to play for the team for the remainder of the 2019-2020 season. Don't know if what I just said was English, but you understand.
No, I get it.
Let's try that sentence one more time. Following that transaction period, each of the 22 teams participating in the 2019-2020 season restart would be required to submit a roster of between 13 and 17 players that would travel to Orlando with the team and, subject to limited exceptions, would be the only players eligible to play for the team in the remainder of the season.
So I would guess
I don't know what those exceptions would be.
Well, obviously, if somebody, I guess if you have to have exceptions because what if like five guys test positive?
Good point.
You're gonna have to get guys in and out of there. So I would think anybody that tests positive is probably done, right? Because they'd have to leave and be quarantined for 2 weeks. Somebody else would have to be let in. So you're gonna have to have rules.
But in theory, even with that exception, if they're having 13 to 17 players, you would still. I wonder what's the number of players you would have to lose to COVID before you'd be able to make other acquisitions. Because that is a lot of players.
Yeah, because usually it's 15, right?
And so,
what do you rotate, guys? What, like 8, 9 bodies usually?
Yes. I mean,
even 15 is excessive, but under these situations, I would think you're going to have more than that.
I mean, a team can pretty comfortably play a game with 10. So if you have up to 17, you're in pretty good shape even if you lose a few. Now, if you lose 5... That's the reason for a lot
of not all these guys would dress. They just would have to be in the bubble to replace anybody that gets hurt.
By the way, good gig if you're a player who gets to go down to the bubble, gets paid, isn't playing, is just sort of hanging out and eating and drinking.
And safer than you probably would be at home.
Going to the gym. You got your gym. Maybe some golf. Some snacks.
Now, this could get Michael interested. Because the NHL has now got it down to six possibilities for hubs. Those six places are Vegas, Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, L.A., and Chicago.
Mm.
I think Michael would enjoy being stuck in Chicago for 7 weeks, right?
Chicago's a great town, but, I mean, if they're quarantined, you're not you could be in the whatever is the worst city you think in the United States. If you're quarantined, you're quarantined. You can't really enjoy the gorgeousness of Chicago if you can't leave your hotel.
True. About Chicago.
So real quick, if you want to hear from the sort of brilliant minds that we were referring to, Clay Travis has weighed in. He's there to represent the brilliant minds. This NASCAR mess should be yet another wake-up call for the far left-wing sports media, which is so desperate for awful things to happen, they stop and ask no questions anytime there's a report of bad things happening. But sadly, it won't be. They'll keep doing what they do. Sorry, how should it have been handled by the media?
I don't believe it. It didn't happen. I guess that's what he's asking. Until I see proof, I'm going to go under the assumption that that's just a mistake. Because things like that in the world don't happen. Kind of like what happened with LeBron James in his L.A. Home to the gate, to his facility, right? There were some people that, LeBron did it, trying to get attention.
I remember those people.
So that's the way I'm supposed to lean. For who? For you? So I'm a left-wing nut because I believed it. I don't know. I've been kind of paying attention to what's happening in the world, so it kind of, unfortunately, seemed believable to me. I want to live in a world, Peter, where something like that happening is inconceivable. Where do I sign up for that? Where on the planet can I go where 100% of these times these stories aren't true?
My house.
I would like to go outside just the perimeter of your house, Michael.
Well, you say you want to go someplace. My house is nirvana. None of that hate is in my house. My children are not taught that. It's beautiful.
Well, so is my house. So is Peter's place. So is a lot of people that I know. But I'm just talking about an actual, like, place to live, like a community.
I'm trying
to look forward to.
I'm trying to look, to see if Clay Travis on his page has ever expressed as much anger or frustration with some of the crimes that we've now seen on camera happening to black people? Or is he only upset that a non-existent racist...
Wait a minute. Why are we addressing Clay Travis? Come on.
I mean,
let's not waste our time on the show.
Because people like this is people like this who are more angry about the fact that someone who doesn't exist was accused of a crime in theory? They're more upset about that than the reason that people are sensitive in the first place?
But what import does Clay Travis have that we're actually adding import to his words? Let's leave it alone. If it was somebody in government, if it was somebody in a position of power, Clay Travis we're going to address? I'm sure there are a lot of people. There's a guy down the block that probably feels the same way. We're not going to give them the time of day.
Fair enough. But sadly, he has 680,000 people who follow those words and actually think they're
And that's
them.
What I meant before when I said it's unfortunate that this happens because it does feed those people that feel that way. You've just fed them something. And I don't know how there's a way around it, but they are now, their view of the world is now fed. That's the difference. That's the problem. So, yeah, it's not as if we could have ignored it, but the fact that it was received with the way it was received, and the people that don't believe that any kind of racism exists, now this is another part that they throw into their circle and they go, see, you guys are wrong.
Let's move on to something positive. There may be baseball. There may be baseball. Michael, do we have any updates?
Well, Jeff Passan reporting that teams are going to have agreed to report on July 1st. There'll be a 60-game season. There doesn't seem to be any snags. They're just going over, dotting the I's and crossing the T's when it comes to the safety protocol. So, it doesn't look as if there's any problem. July 1st, they will report for spring training at the home ballparks. Still up in the air about what Toronto is going to do because of their situation with once you cross the border, you have to be quarantined for 2 weeks, and they can't train in Dunedin because that's been shut down. Not sure where they will train, but it looks like we will have baseball, and the spring training will start next week, July 1st.
Now, would you say, if it's just health and safety protocols that have to be signed here, can we pretty safely say this is a done deal?
No.
Or still no?
Until it's signed with these two sides?
Because look how surprised a lot of NBA players were about the hub after everything was agreed to. So they might be making phone calls right now, and there might be players that are actually looking at this proposal for the first time and going, I don't feel comfortable with this. We'll see. Now, I've been asked a lot on Twitter, Michael, about this, and then Mike is the most recent person.
About my shirt?
No. Do you believe there'll be a trade deadline in the 60-game season?
No, I don't think so. You know, I shouldn't say that. How do I know? I mean, I'm not. It doesn't make sense. The trade deadline is usually the end of July.
Yeah, but I mean, they could come up with a temporary one. I mean, you've got trade deadlines in NBA and the NHL that have 82 games.
You know what I would do? I wouldn't allow a trade deadline, and I'm going to tell you why. And I think you might agree with me. If you allow a trade deadline, you're going to see teams dump salary just for the sake of getting rid of salary, and it will not be real baseball trades. You're gonna have a roster of 30. You're gonna have plenty of people in case somebody gets injured or tests positive for coronavirus. I will not allow teams to just dump great players because of salary. So I don't want any kind of trade deadline.
You're gonna see some tanking though. Team gets off to a bad start. It's only 60 games. They're not losing really any revenue, right? Because nobody's in their ballpark. You got some teams that feel like they're losing money hand over fist anyway. They might as well get a first overall pick out of it.
Cincinnati has removed the statue of former owner, her name, Marge Schott's name, from the stadium. The facility was named Marge Schott Stadium in 2006. Which, by the way, just for the record, in terms of people doing a bad job about stuff, guys, the only thing I've ever known about Marge Schott is that she's an open racist. How did she get the stadium named after her in 2006?
I think she put up money for it.
Was she alive in 2006?
I'm not sure.
It came after a $2 million donation from Marge and Charles Schott Foundation. She died in 2004.
Okay.
In 1996, she was banned from Riverfront Stadium and day-to-day operations after comments about Adolf Hitler.
I do wonder, though, even if somebody has a sketchy past and they donate a tremendous amount of money to have their name on a building, and then they pass away and then you find out a great deal about their sketchy past, do you have the right to take the name off the building when they paid for it?
That would get into legalese, but I would imagine there'd be a clause if you did a good job contractually that if someone in any way disgraces the institution, I mean, this is the University of Cincinnati. This isn't Riverfront. So they made a donation of $2 million to the University of Cincinnati, and then that person becomes a psychopath.
Well, wait a minute.
I mean, they took down Yawkey Way right around Fenway. Mm-hmm. So when I had my throat surgery last year, I did it at the Mass General. And the Yawkeys donated a tremendous amount of money to build parts of Mass General. And a lot of the buildings are named after Yawkeys and not taken down.
But it's not like naming rights. I mean, usually the way it goes is, oh, you gave us $2 million. Thank you. We're going to name it after you. Like, I don't know if there's no contract drawn up that you have to name
it. No, I think there's contracts drawn up. That's why people donate money so that they get to live forever. Their name's on the building. I mean, you look at all the hospitals in New York City, they're all named after blum, 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 Mr. and Mrs. whatever, and they put the name. And they did that. Obviously, they've got good intentions, but they also want to be known. Otherwise, their name wouldn't be on the building.
But I'd have to see legally what your obligation is. I would think there would have to be some sort of moral clause in it.
I would think so, too. In addition to using racial slurs against black people, Asians, and more, she also said everybody knows that Hitler was good at the beginning. He just took it too far. Which is not something I've ever heard everyone say. I guess it depends on your standard of everyone. Who is your everyone, I guess would be the question there. Novak Djokovic says he's tested positive for coronavirus. He took part in an exhibition that he had organized in Serbia and Croatia and supposedly had a big party. He's the biggest star in Serbia, and he's now the fourth player to test positive for the virus.
You can have a lot of people testing positive because a lot of people are going to get tests for the first time. You're going to see people test positive. How will the league respond? I think you're going to see people test positive in baseball, too. How will the league respond?
Have all the teams been tested in baseball yet, Michael?
Because
we know we've seen the positives from staffers and things like that.
I don't know if everybody has been tested, Peter.
But that's the difference between a hub and a non-hub. Like you said, these guys are just going about their lives. Now they go to a tournament or whatever, and now they get tested. They test positive. Before you go into the hub in the NBA or NHL, you're going to be tested. And if you test positive, you don't get to come in. But for baseball, Michael, they're going to be testing, but there's a very good chance guys are going to do what Novak did. I'm going to go to a party. I'm going to go and just be irresponsible and forget to wear my mask or something.
Also, in golf, Cameron Champ, two-time winner on the PGA Tour, has withdrawn from the Travelers Championship after testing positive for COVID-19 during the pre-tournament screening on Tuesday. Golf really is the best situation in so many ways, though. Not only do you have the how much the players are separated, but it's like every single week, when you come back, you had another week between, where in theory, if you had gotten it the previous week, it would now show up on the next week's test. You test again on Tuesday or Wednesday, and then you're able to, in theory, get people out before the tournament starts. Though last week, it didn't happen until Friday with someone, so we'll see. Michael, do you follow the Trevor Bauer, Aubrey Huff Twitter
feed? Yes, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Can you give us an SFW version?
What's SFW mean?
Safe for work?
Well, they're going back and forth at each other. Aubrey Huff is incredibly right-wing to the point that when the Giants celebrated one of the World Series that he was part of, he won two with them, they didn't even invite him back. He's not shy about his opinion, so he's going back and forth with Bauer about Bauer needing a shot of testosterone and Aubrey saying, I want having a shot of two of his World Series rings. And Bauer came back and said, those are nice participation trophies. You also have terrible numbers in the postseason. He printed that. Going up against Bauer is not a winning formula, I believe, for Aubrey Huff. But now joining the fray in the last half hour or so and backing up Aubrey Huff is Curt Schilling.
Oh, no, hold on.
Wait a minute.
That is the heel tag team of the cinch.
I was actually to try to describe Aubrey Huff. I was going to say even Curt Schilling cringes. Apparently not.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. So like Schilling's last salvo was, this is a guy who's talking that hurt his team's chances by playing with a drone and cutting his hand and losing a World Series game. And Bauer, who has an answer for everything, said, well, I got knocked out in the first inning because my hand was bleeding in the ALCS. It was a game that we won. And I actually pitched in the World Series and had no problem whatsoever with my hand. So get your facts straight. And it's getting nasty. So root for whichever side you like or don't like or dislike less.
How does a Red Sox fan feel? Like if you do not agree with Curt Schilling, right? If you're completely opposite of Curt Schilling, but you're a diehard Red Sox fan.
You root for what he did on the team.
How do you deal with it?
You know, it's interesting, too. So coming up is the 10th and final year of his eligibility for the Hall of Fame. Right before year 9, when people thought that he had a chance to get in, he completely went radio silent. He didn't tweet anymore because he realizes the people that are voting are probably not, for the most part, of the same political views as Kurt. But recently, I mean, I'd say over the last 3 or 4 months, he is back on Twitter. He's never off of Twitter, and he's just firing salvos and opinions that are going to alienate half the country and probably more than half of the writers. And I wonder, will the writers say, okay, maybe he's a Hall of Famer, but we just don't like him so much as a person that we're not going to vote for him. Now, they're not supposed to do that, but Kurt is also, you know, he's retweeted memes about, you know, lynching media and all that. So he's deeply involved in this Bauer and Huff situation now.
Here's the thing. You know, because I knew where you were going when you talked about, like, Aubrey's political beliefs, like right-wing, conservative.
It's even beyond that, though.
But
it's
that's
not
the
fair
thing.
To right-wing people.
Yeah, it's beyond.
That's what I was going to say. Is like, I know a lot of conservative people, and I would not put them in the same category as Kurt Schilling and Aubrey Huff.
He's right of Genghis Khan.
They're off the reservation. Because I do think sometimes we get a little crazy politically. Like, I don't think somebody, just because you happen to disagree with their political beliefs, should be stopped from going to Hall of Fame. But when you are outrageous as those two guys are, then you cross the line. And even though you're supposed to separate those things, does anybody really want to celebrate those two players? Or like, Aubrey Huff's not going to go to the Hall of Fame, but like Kurt Schilling, when social distancing is over and you're going to be inducting people into the Hall of Fame, Michael, do you want that?
Schilling's not going.
Standing there at a podium.
Yeah, he was really close. Don't be so sure.
He wasn't that close last year, was he?
No, he was pretty. He was fairly close.
And who's up next year?
He is. That's why there's not that many people that are must-go-ins. So, I mean, although the Hall of Fame class from last year is going to be inducted next year because the induction was canceled this year.
Right.
So you get Jeter and Larry Walker. It'll be interesting.
Real quick, how about some Tom Brady watch?
You're too old!
Brady watch.
Come on now, fellas! 35! 52! Hey! Are you hurt? Hey! That's my kid!
All right, guys, have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
The only thing that would be better than a Brady watch, of course, would be a Kendrick Perkins watch. We still have not had that yet, but don't worry, one's coming. Tom Brady and several Bucks teammates held a workout despite three positive COVID-19 tests on the Bucks, including two players and an assistant coach. They're still having a workout at a local high school. Earlier today, Brady was seen practicing with Gronk, Chris Godwin, Blaine Gabbert, and several others. The NFL league office has been made aware of the workouts, as has the NFLPA and the Bucks, who officially reopened their team facilities on June 10th. Now, of course, guys, this is particularly interesting when you're talking about Florida and players deciding to work out on their own and then reporting to facilities and things of that nature as we're seeing numbers go up. It's just like hard for me to have a lot of faith when I see how casual a lot of people are. It's hard to have a lot of faith that you're not going to end up seeing more positive results as a result of things like this.
Yeah, because I don't know how you practice all the wearing masks. You know, how can they do all that wearing masks and not be social distant? I don't know. Unless they just don't care about getting it.
And a lot of them might feel that way. I mean, maybe they say, hey, listen, we're not going to put anybody in our family that's, you know, in any kind of peril. We'll stay away from them. But when it comes to them, most athletes think they'll get right through it, and most of them have.
I mean, listen, you can't trust Tom Brady. He's walking to the wrong houses galore. He doesn't even know where he is.
And by the way, the PGA Tour member that tested positive earlier,
Cameron Champ.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. My apology.
What? It's hurtful. Lastly, we talked about a lot earlier on the show. We've talked about Jamal Adams and his saga with the Jets. Adam Schefter was on SportsCenter talking about how the Jets are not quite yet ready to let go of Jamal Adams.
They may get to the point where they listen to offers, and there may be a team out there that makes an aggressive push and has a strong stance to go to try to trade for him. But the Jets are not looking to trade him. It's not like something's imminent. I know it's all over social media, people saying, where is he going? Nowhere right now. He's the Jets' property, and they're not moving him right now.
So we'll see how this plays out, because now he's basically
never
talking.
Move him, especially the way he's acting now. I wouldn't throw him a lifeline if it was the last thing. He would sit and never play again, and I would lose the asset, and I'd feel good about it.
I mean, he's like talking about the team past tense. There are videos of him saying he's trying to get on the Cowboys. He's doing everything possible to push the Jets' button. So we'll see what they decide to do.
Hey, it's a $3.6 million problem, which is negligible right now for the Jets in their situation. So now 2021, when it becomes, I think, a $9.6 million problem, well, now it's a little bit of an issue. But if he wants to sit out all next year And well, let's say the Jets actually go 8-8, 9-7. Then what is he going to do?
He's got a lot of front runner in him. You know, when they were 7-1, he kept his mouth shut.
I know.
The Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, has also tested positive for coronavirus last week and remains in Serbia. He was asymptomatic, and he's expected to be cleared, but his return to the U.S. is delayed. So, again, Michael, situations like this could also arise as the NBA prepares for their restart in Orlando.
Absolutely, and again, athletes will probably get through it, but what happens if there's an official? What happens if there's a coach who's in the 60s? I mean, these are all the things they have to consider. I'm sure they have. There's a lot of peril here, a lot.
He'll need two negative tests within 24 hours in Serbia before he can travel.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.